This is The Open Line. Call now to have your say. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
2 minutes past five, we'll have Hugh's headlines before The Open Line. In a couple of minutes before that, to bring you right up to date with the full-time scores, Derek Johnson.
In the William Hill Scottish Cup semi-final, Hibernian 2, Aberdeen 3. In the Scottish Championship, Dundee United 3, St Mirren 2. Dunfermline Athletic 1, Falkirk 2. Greenock Morton 1, Ayr United 1. And Queen of the South 1, Dumbarton 2. Scottish League 1, Airdrieonians 0, Alloa 1, Albion Rovers 0, East Fife 1, Brechin City 0, Stranraer 0, Livingston 4, Queen's Park 0, and Peterhead 0, Stenhouse Muir 1. Scottish League 2, Berwick Rangers 0, Montrose 1, Cowdenbeath 1, Arbroath 2, Edinburgh City 2, and Athletic 0, Elgin City 2, Stirling Albion 2, Forfar Athletic 3, Clyde 0. And in the English Premier League, Bournemouth 4, Middlesbrough 0, Hull City 2, Watford 0, Swansea City 2, Stoke City 0, and West Ham United 0, Everton 0.
Right, 0141 951 1025, that's the number to call. We're going to speak to Tony in just a second, but like any good newspaper, it needs some headlines.
A five-goal thriller at Hampden means Aberdeen, not Hibs, will face Celtic or Rangers in the Scottish Cup final. A five-goal thriller at Tannadice means St Mirren drop back into the playoff place at the foot of the Championship table. Two games left for the Saints. They're 1 point away from Raith Rovers, 2 points away from Dumbarton. The heat is on.
It is very much, and the heat will be on tomorrow at Hampden Park for the 22 players and the refereeing group as well, the referees and his assistants. Here's Tony in Postle Park. Hi, Tony.
How you doing, guys?
All right, Tony, how are you?
Hiya. What is my main concern is, obviously, as a Celtic fan myself, Brendan Rodgers said in the newspaper that the referee for tomorrow's game should be on his A game, right? Now, the problem, with the concern is, see the game of Celtic and Ross County. Now, that bad decision could have cost lower teams in the lower league, people's jobs in those teams. And what have they done? What have they done to the referee? To almost like rectify the problems he's done. And the linesman, what is the point of the linesman being there if, one, if he's not seen it, and two, he's just going to agree with the referee?
Alright, let's not go through the whole decision from last week.
First of all, to be accurate, Brendan Rodgers was not speaking about the referee in the back pages of your newspaper this morning. He was speaking about the man who refereed last week's game, who is going to be behind a goal tomorrow. The referee for tomorrow's game is Willie Collum, who is innocent until proved guilty. And we'll have to wait and see what happens tomorrow. But
the other point
I'd make to you, Tony, did you watch any of the Champions League football this week?
Even
at that level, horrendous mistakes are made. I'm not in any way absolving Don Robertson from what took place at Dingwall last week. It was an awful decision. But just a wee reminder that even at Champions League level, the outcome of matches is now being materially influenced by refereeing decisions. You're quite right to make the point that Ross County got last Sunday could yet be highly influential in determining who goes down, who goes into the playoffs, etc. And that could in turn lead to cost-cutting exercises at clubs. But in general terms, referees and their mistakes are like death and taxes. They will always be with us.
I mean, you said that about Ross County. You see, if we were to open the lines up tonight to supporters of every club, they can come on and tell you a game where they should have had a penalty, or there was a penalty given for them that should never have been. You know, it's not just one game where a club might go down. I think this is happening all the time, all over Scottish football. It only gets highlighted because it's the Old Firm and it's news.
And the own, absolutely. And another big reason, surely, that it's getting highlighted is because the referee from last week is involved tomorrow.
With the final, yeah.
And the only reason he's involved tomorrow is because the announcement was made last week.
When you look back at the refereeing decision for Newcastle, when the referee, after the 10th penalty, scored the penalty, he turned it around into a free kick. That referee, the following week, was demoted.
Yeah. He was out. I don't even think he had a game.
And the officials as well, I think they all get demoted at the same time.
So if that is going to happen to Don Robertson, then it's not going to happen in time for tomorrow. I just wonder if the SFA will look again,
leave it a bit later before they decide
processes, because none of these arguments we would be having.
But what the SFA must also examine is the ever-increasing incidence of referees' mistakes. The standard is falling, and falling dramatically. And when Brendan Rodgers said that John Fleming had called him, you immediately think John Fleming is not given to phoning managers. But he's looked at it on television and thought, oh no, I am going to have to intervene here and speak to the Celtic manager. As Brendan Rodgers said, he didn't have to do it. He appreciated the courtesy of the call. But it's John Fleming's way of responding to the fact that standards are falling badly.
0141 951 1025. You're on the open line on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Tony, I take it you're quite happy.
Well, the thing is, I mean, Hugh's saying, like, did I watch Champions League games and these referees can make bad decisions? But these teams are multi-billion clubs. Partick Thistle and these lower league teams can struggle and suffer. Now, what I'm saying is, the referee tomorrow, say he does make a bad decision. Now, the Rangers and Celtic, if Rangers get put out, that's money costing to them. Now, Rangers, at the current moment, are struggling for money, let's be honest. But if they struggle again and lose this cup competition, lose money, it's the same factor. And the thing is, the football chat I'm in, Tonga's troops, they're all saying this. I mean, what if they do struggle?
Well, the principle is the same, though. Whether it's Champions League or our Premiership, the principle is the same. Big mistakes are made, costly mistakes. So, with regard to the money, the clubs perhaps falling out of the division, that's all the more reason to examine why our officials are not performing to a decent level. And Brendan Rodgers clearly believes that the standard of refereeing in Scotland is nowhere near as high as the standard of refereeing in England. And that's why I'm coming round to the idea of professional referees here, if they wish to make that their job, because we have to look for a solution. The problem we know is there. You can see the problem from the moon, but we need a solution. And perhaps we should trial professional referees.
But what difference would that make you? It can make them fitter in a way. I accept that, you know, and that's their one big job and they're getting paid for it. But decision making is all about a second. And I think being full-time or part-time as a referee won't make any difference to the big decisions that they're trying to make.
Won't it make them fresher mentally?
No,
if that's what you don't have a stressful job as well?
No, when you're concentrating on football 90 minutes, I like players, referees, they've got to concentrate all the time and they've got to make big decisions at times. Times when they'll get it right, which is fantastic, but other times they will get it wrong.
Well, put it this way then, you know, all we can do is look for a solution. And I do take your point, it's a split second, but perhaps if they are placed in that kind of situation on a daily basis, being trained, having a look at these types of simulation and what have you, I think we have to try something, because the standard is falling through the floor.
We've got a solution.
Foreign referees?
No. The solution is television. How many times do we watch offside goals? And it's you wind it back and say he's a yard offside.
Yeah, but
you change it, then someone diving. But that wouldn't have happened last week at Ross County. That wouldn't have happened last week. That would have helped the referee. Everybody would say, "Well done, ref. You went to look at the television camera, and you've got the right outcome."
But until such time as we have that approved, we have to do something about the here and now. So we don't have the ability to go to a television set and alter a decision. Until that time arrives, we have to see what we can do to improve the situation.
The modern day footballer will not make it any easier for the referees. They'll make every bit of contact, whether they go down inside the box, outside the box, they're going to make it difficult. Offside is whether the linesman's in the line at the time, but you don't need to change that. If it's going to come towards television, that would be the outcome.
But you said yourself, Murdo, that in England referees are immediately demoted if they make a serious mistake. So in order to help the referees be better than they are currently being, then we have to consider some form of solution, whether that's professional referees or whatever, because cheating players were with us for all time.
Here's John and Bishop Briggs, I think, who would go along with that. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, John.
What I was suggesting was, think of rugby, Hugh, right? And I know what you've just said, but think about the rugby game. Uh-huh. What happens? The referee stops the play, they look at it, and then they decide if it's a try, etc. Why can't they do that with football? They do away with the two guys at the back of the goals in the Champions League and European ties. The two guys must be getting paid a good few bob. So there's four, let's say, £100. So there's £400. That's money going in to the television. The guy's sitting in the side. Let's stop that. Let's go and have a look, like they do in the rugby. Yes, yeah. It is. A
rugby, cricket and tennis.
I don't.
Exactly.
Why can't they do it with football? I don't disagree with a single word you're saying, except that football has not yet approved the idea of the game being stopped and a decision being overturned because of television. I am only asking, what do we do? Eventually it will come, because it has to come. But until such times as football approves that, then we have to look for ways of improving what we have just now. And one solution might be to trial professional referees.
See, it's strange because it even happened in golf a couple of weeks ago, when it was a viewer who phoned in and said he touched that ball before he hit it. It was a young lady, and she lost the championship because they didn't see it. None of the officials seen it, but somebody had actually phoned in and said that she moved the ball before she hit it.
Did she not put her marker down at the side of the ball, and then she put the ball in front of the marker?
But it wasn't the people that are actually there to supervise it. That was television. That's what you're saying.
To get the right outcome.
Can I just point out two things that have been brought up this week on Midweek Super Scoreboard that I think are the pertinent points here? One is, I totally get what you're saying, Murdo, on technology, but surely we don't need technology to see that incident last week at Ross County. And the second thing is, the only reason, I'll say it again, the only reason that we are sitting here still talking about referees is because the very referee who made that horrendous error is part of the refereeing team
tomorrow
for the biggest game this season tomorrow. Now, both of those things could surely be sorted out.
Well, who made the biggest mistake today for Hibs early on in the game? First 12 seconds.
McGregor.
Mm-hmm. He'll play next week. Mm-hmm. So the referee's made a howler. The referee's, he's got to get help. Referees have got to be helped. And it's the camera's coming on. And if he went to the side of the pitch and someone said, or said in his ear, somebody's sitting up in the stand with a camera in front of him, a screen in front of him, and he would tell him he's dived. End of story.
But then they don't get the penalty kick. You know what referees would say to that, Murdo? Maybe he would disagree. The referee that gave it might say, no, I don't need to look at it. My decision was he died.
Referees will be told, if the guy in the stand is saying it's a penalty, it's a penalty. See, if it's one of these penalties that you can't judge even on television, then it goes to the referees. He makes the decision then. If he felt it wasn't a penalty, then he wouldn't give it. Then we would play on.
Mark Conaghan says professional referees would mean it would open it up, employing folk from everywhere. Right now, it's an addition to a career, which is a small pool. And Gary Thomas says refs need to be full time. Every single job gives you stress. Cut out the other job and cut out the stress and make better decisions.
But you know what gets to me as well? You're getting people saying, was it Brendan Rodgers that said it? You need to come with his A game tomorrow. I would like to think every referee and every official comes with his A game, no matter what game it is you're doing, because you're a professional. Yeah. Like, if it might be part time, but you're the ones that can change his game, so you've got to get it right.
But anyway, we have a serious ongoing problem here in this country, and we need to look for a solution. And the best solution of all is television and consulting the screen and saying, oh, horrendous mistake. At Dingwall, not only did the referee think it was a penalty, his assistant referee thought it was a penalty as well. So you get two men, and leaving Brendan Rodgers and everyone else to say, how can you possibly arrive at that conclusion? So we have a problem. Until such time as we can get television evidence used, we need to look for a solution to the problem as it stands at present. And for me, we need to trial professional referees.
But you know, the guys who's refereeing the game just now, they've all got really good jobs. Most of them get really good jobs. Are they going to give that up for, what is it, £600 a week or £1,000?
£900.
That would be a difficulty,
just for a trial. I don't kind of know how a trial is full time. You can't give up your job on a trial basis. Do you know what I mean?
Well, if you don't want to be a full time referee, okay, you can do the lower divisions. But we've got a problem here. Callers are saying to us that, matches are being affected by referees' performances, and they're right. livelihoods are being affected by referees' mm-hmm. performances, and they're right. I mean, if you want to bring it down to money, Eric Sviatchenko was denied a win bonus last week because two men thought they saw something that didn't take place. So Eric Sviatchenko mm-hmm. and all of the other Celtic players lost money.
But Hugh, that's been football the whole... You've been in football about a million years.
Yeah.
This is the way it's been. But because it's highlighted so much by television to show you all the mistakes. Mm-hmm. But that's the same way you could go down and that will solve your problem. That shows you, that highlights the problem, but that would solve your problem.
Raymond Doyle says, we have substitute players. Why not have a sub referee? You make a howler, you're off. 0141 951 1025. Any Aberdeen... I know there are Aberdeen fans who listen to this programme and who phone in this programme. Surely if there was ever a day to phone up and tell us how good your team is, you're into a cup final, give us a call and let us know. If you were at Hampden earlier on watching Aberdeen get through against Hibs, 0141 951 1025. It's Saturday's Open Line.
Football is all a matter of opinions. This is the Open Line on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team. Please gamble responsibly.
Dunfermline will not be in the playoff spots for the Championship this season. They lost 2-1 at home this afternoon to Falkirk, and the Pars boss Alan Johnson was not happy, not so much with his team, but yes, you've guessed it, the referee.
Can you say?
I don't like making excuses for results and performances, but the referee surely made it hard for himself there. For a start, it's never a penalty. I've seen it again in the video. Sean Murdoch palms it out, and then obviously Hippolyte just falls down and dives. And for it to come in the tunnel as well and say that as well, it's really frustrating. So it was really poor for the officials throughout the whole match. There was even an offside at one point for a by kick. So it kind of sums up the performance of the officials today.
Did Hippolyte say that in the tunnel to you?
I don't know if he was just trying to be smart, because obviously the boys weren't happy, but it's poor when you see boys diving, and it changes the game. I thought we played really well, we're in control, and that decision changes the game.
Did that injure Sean as well?
I think he's been feeling his knee for a couple of weeks. He's been getting through it, and obviously you lose two big players as well. Callum Morris came off, he had a massive lump on his knee, but he wanted to try second half to try and get through it. I thought he'd be okay, and then obviously Sean was feeling his knee as well, so... unfortunately, the two of them had to go off.
There's been a lot of controversy with the Alex Schalk dive last weekend. Referees are now phoning managers and apologising. Would you like either yourself or Sean to get an apology?
I would have asked the referee if I hadn't seen him and asked him if he wanted to see the video. I know I'm not allowed to, but just to make him realise how big a mistake it was, because it was a really poor decision and it's obviously cost us the chance to go on and win the game.
I mean, with Morton drawn today as well, I mean, it's also taken away the slim chances that
you did. It was a massive game for us today. We were desperate to win it. Obviously, the sending off wasn't the ideal either. We just get caught with one long ball. But up to that point, I thought the boys done really well. Nicky Clark had a couple of headers. It was a really good goal. And we looked a team that was going to go on and win the game.
Alan Johnson there, Dunfermline manager, unhappy as you heard. He's now looking for an apology. Goodness me, the referees are going to be busy midweek if it continues like this. FA Cup semi-final currently taking place, Chelsea against Spurs. Derek Johnson, what's happening?
And Chelsea have just scored Will-I-Am with a free kick 25 yards out in the left-hand side, bent over the wall into the top corner. 1-0 for the Blues.
Referees copping some flack again. Colin's here in Easterhouse. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Jerry. No, I'm not going to give them... Hi, everybody.
Thanks, I'm
not going to give them flag. I'm here to stick up for them, Jerry. I've got 2 points. One, I'll give you a no-so-extreme one. I think the referees at the start of next year should get... John Fleming should get his referees, along with the 12 captains of the club, put them in a room and say to the guys, right, listen, I'll give yous the respect you deserve for being captains of your team, but yous have got to start giving me respect on the field. So get your team under control. I'll come to the captains all the time when I make a decision, if you're wanting it explained on the field, and that's it. Nae managers, nae for the board, nae just the club captains and the referees, and see if they sort it out that way.
This stuff isn't sorted out in offices with people talking to each other, because the guarantee you have is that 1 week after the meeting, somebody will dive somewhere and it'll all be off the table again. What we need is a better standard of refereeing, And I think that with Alan Johnson, the latest to demand an apology here, I can sense now that referees will get together in a way they have not done since they went on strike, and will say, right, we've had enough of this.
So you know what happened? You know what happens, John, before the season starts?
Colin.
The referees do meet. They do meet the managers of every club. And they expect them, what they're expecting from that season, from their players and everything else. So they definitely do have meetings. I don't think it makes any difference whether you speak to the captains. The manager is the ones that gets the players going. But Hugh's right. You can have all the rules you like.
Derek, the referees do speak to
That's what I'm saying.
They do speak to the captains. The referee will go over to one of the captain of the team and say, by the way, have a wee word with one of your players.
Yeah.
If I'm not happy with something. And then the referees, I think the relationship isn't too bad between the referees and the players. I think they got on. But the managers, the captain on the pitch, that's where the contact is between the referee.
Do you think, Colin, that as Hugh alluded to there, that if this continues and the referees keep getting under pressure, we could be heading towards another strike?
Well, that puts me on to my next point nicely, Jerry. And this is the reason why I did phone up. See, next week, when every team are ready to kick off at 2:59 or 12:44 or whatever, I'd have the three officials in the middle of the park shout out the club captains for each team and say, game's not going on, boys. See how you go on with footers. Walk off the field, in the tunnel, and get ready and go home. Because I think the flack that the referees have took this week is unbelievably unfair.
How about you talk about the flack they've taken? How about the situation where referees walk off because they're fed up with players diving?
Yeah.
And they're fed up with players trying to cheat them?
Yeah.
They can't... Jerry, they can't win. They're getting flack off the players on the park, getting flack off managers, off the clubs, and then off the supporters. That guy that made that decision last week, do you think his life's been the same since it happened last Saturday?
I mean, Hugh, we hear there Miles Hippolyte apparently going up the tunnel at half time laughing and joking, saying, yeah, I did dive. Referees should be angry at these guys.
Yeah, it's a mess. The whole thing's a mess. Players are being dishonest with fellow players. They are trying to get fellow players into trouble. Referees are making terrible mistakes. As I say, last week, the worst thing of all at Dingwall was that not only the referee, but his assistant referee thought they saw a man who was sailing through the air had been brought down by Eric Svechenko. The standard is not good enough. But this constant carping about officials, the number of managers who want apologies now, it's leading to a situation where I think John Fleming is going to get referees saying to him, fed up with this, and we are heading towards perhaps another referee strike.
The only thing that's a certainty is we need referees and assistants to every game. We need them. Yeah. We can't do without them.
Yeah.
So I understand where Colin's coming from. I mean, they couldn't do that. If they didn't tell anybody that, and you've got a full house, whether it's 5,000, 20,000, you say this game's not going, that's not going to happen.
Once we get football, that the players stop cheating, it'll make it 10 times easier for every referee.
What Colin has to realise in a quiet moment here is that any referee and other officials who took that decision would be in serious trouble with the police, because they would say, we've got a stadium with tens of thousands of people in it here, and you've just walked off and told them, after they've paid their money through season tickets or whatever, you've just told them there's no
game. You don't think the message would get through you?
We'll get through to them.
The only thing that would get through would be a court appearance for people, because you cannot interfere. It then becomes a major security problem, so you cannot begin to even counter.
But you know what, Hugh? See if it continues like this, and it is starting to get worse. I know they're making some terrible decisions. They're getting stick from the media. They're getting stick from players. They're getting stick from managers. They will go out and strike again, and they're quite entitled to go and strike like everybody else. And remember what happened the last time? We had to go and get foreign referees in. They weren't all that much better, to be perfectly honest, in our game either.
Anyway, we have the existence of a problem. It is for those in authority, Stuart Regan, Neil Doncaster, John Fleming, the man in charge of referees. It is for those in authority to say, right, what do we propose to do about this?
But it starts, Murdo, with players diving.
Without a doubt.
That's how it begins.
Last week, the referee... horrendous mistake. Linesman, horrendous mistake. Player, cheated. And well, we've got to try and get rid of that, because that's not just a one-off, because we're talking about this Hippolyte. Yeah. He was bragging that he's dived and he's won the penalty kick. That was them filming a chance to get into the top four. But the chance is gone now because someone's died.
Well, to stop that, I know he got was it a 2-game ban he got?
Yeah.
We've got to start hammering them. And people will laugh. You get a 6-game ban for diving? Yes, because it means so much to other people.
Well, going back to that, Gordon Smith, who was the chief executive of the SFA, and he campaigned heavily to bring in punishments for simulation. He wanted it to be that a first offence was a 2-game ban. If he did it again, it was a 3-game ban. Mm. Again, a 4, and moving so on up, and so forth. And you can understand the merits in that. Thanks very much to Colin. Here's Craig, who is in Yoker. Hi, Craig.
All right, guys. Hi, Craig. You made a comment earlier, Jerry. You says, like, the reason we're talking about the ref is because, like, he's involved in this big game tomorrow. Mm. Now, arguably, last week, there was just as bad an error, a judgment by Willie Collum and the Motherwell when the ball never crossed the line at a crucial time in the game. Nobody's been talking about the actual ref.
Was that not the assistant, though, Craig? In that situation,
no, he was near line. He was nowhere near it. Willie Collum gave a goal, and there was no way he could have seen it. Check it out, honestly. Check it out, and you'll find that I'm right. But anyway, the point I want to make is nobody's putting pressure on Willie Collum, which makes a change because you know what I mean. It's every single Old Firm game. It's here we go. Let's get the pressure on the ref.
No,
you know what I mean? God help him. That's what I'm saying. Mm.
The pressure is on Willie Collum the minute he is assigned the match. Whether it's Willie Collum, John Beaton, Craig Thompson, whoever, the pressure is on that man because this fixture is unique. And in this fixture, you are prejudged. People have no time to wait for the game to start. You are condemned before it starts. You're condemned on the basis of something you did before in one of these other Celtic Rangers or Rangers Celtic fixtures. You are condemned for any reason that people could think of. And tomorrow, the greatest pressure put on the referees will come from the 55,000 inside Hampden.
We have an Aberdeen fan. It's Brian Cabby from Dumbarton. Hi, Brian.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
How are you, Brian? A happy man?
Happy man. Bit of trepidation for the cup final again, especially for Poole Celtic. I think my best chance is going to come against Rangers.
Oh, sorry, that Spurs have just equalised 1-1. Was it Harry Kane? It was Harry Kane via header, 1-1. Sorry, John, to interrupt you, son.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Brian, just talk about the game today before you move too into your pessimist state. Brian, you know, you're through there. It was some start, was it not?
I didn't actually see the game. I was working last night and didn't get up until well into the second half. So,
you've not got a telly in the room?
No, I'm not allowed to have it on when I'm, when I'm in my bed. Life only let me. It's a good result, but I still have a bit of trepidation. I'm actually looking at the league table from last season as well. We finished the season 71 points. Mm-hmm. We're currently sitting on 67 with a possible 15 to play for. Mm-hmm. I think out of that 15 we'll maybe take 10, which means we'll finish with 77, which is an improvement from last season. So we are improving slightly, but I don't think we'll have improved enough to win the Cup if Celtic get into the final. Our best chance will be against Rangers.
Best chance against Rangers, the team that beat you 3-0 a couple of weeks ago?
That was a mad 10 minutes. I don't think that'll repeat. I don't think we'll see history repeat itself like that again, and if we play them again, especially in the cup final. I think it'll be a lot closer. I think we'll win it 2-1 against Rangers in the cup final. There you go. It's just an opinion, though.
I blame
Nothing
Dad's,
wrong with that.
I blame Dad's army for all this. We're doomed. We're all doomed.
Hold on a minute ago. We're doomed with the refs.
Five goal thriller. Wonderful game of football. Treat yourself. I take it you've recorded it.
No.
You haven't recorded it. You're some kind of Aberdeen supporter.
Oh, mate, I know.
Anyway, 5-goal thriller, take my word for it. Marvellous game, terrific semi-final. But, you know, no sooner has the dust settled than I say, we'd never beat Celtic. Rangers never beat Celtic.
As far as Rangers are concerned, with Celtic tomorrow, and then if they get through that, Aberdeen in the final, it's certainly going to be a couple of good-natured games, isn't it? For Rangers in terms of rivalry, here's David in Hamilton. Hi, David.
Hey, panel, how are we doing?
You're a Hibs fan, David.
A Hibs fan, I was at the game today.
What do you make of the comments of of Neil Lennon. I don't know, did you hear him when he said it was pathetic for large parts of the game, best team for parts of the game, a boy band mentality? He's getting fed up with it.
I think that's just his passion shown through. To be fair, me and the rest, well, me and the Hibs supporters, I know, were really happy with the team this season. So being in the cup and given the challenge that we did, it was a bonus. And to win the league, that was obviously the priority this season. But today, what we've done and get to the semis, it was kind of unlucky how we lost, but can't be any happier than my team. But congratulations to Aberdeen and congratulations to the groundsman at Hampden for getting the pitch right for a change.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing we haven't mentioned, was mentioned earlier on by Neil Lennon, of course, mentioning that. But, you know, you gave yourself a mountain to climb, didn't you, David, with that? I mean, I know managers complain about losing late goals and say the game lasts 90 minutes, but the game starts in the first minute as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. When we went down two goals, it just looked like it just wouldn't come back. But Hibs, in usual fashion, doing it the hard way, managed to claw two goals back, and then the wee deflection at the end kind of changed everything. But quite happy enough as a Hibs supporter to say we gave it the best that we could do. At the end of the day, it was a cup game. Somebody's ball was going to go, and unfortunately, it was Hibs for the first 30 minutes of the game.
Oh, well, as you say, it's all about next season, David.
That's it, guys. Cheers.
Thanks a lot, David. All the best. That was David there. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Let us hear from, I was going to say Jim Duffy, but Jim Duffy obviously hasn't done the post-match today for Morton after securing a playoff spot.
Is he not suspended from the touchline today?
Oh, exactly right. That's why it is his assistant, Craig McPherson.
Craig, that's the playoffs done and dusted. How pleasing is that for everyone?
Yeah, but absolutely delighted. The full season, I think the boys have thoroughly deserved it. We're delighted to secure fourth place this afternoon. Obviously, we've got another two games to go and we'll see what happens in them. But fantastic achievement for the boys. Gaffer's done all the hard work. I think full credit to him and the players. They thoroughly deserved it over the last 9 months, so we're very pleased today.
Second's not out of your reach. Is he still going to really gun for that, or is it a case of you being happy that the playoffs are secured?
Well, we're happy we've secured. We're delighted we've secured fourth, and obviously then we can look at next week's game, and we played Dundee United the following week as well. We've got a tough game at Dunfermline next week, so we'll look at that first. But we're absolutely delighted to get fourth. But what happens between now and the end of the season, we'll just take it as it comes.
How was it not having Jim alongside you shooting his orders today?
It's quite strange, because he's a man that's controlled everything, and he's a man that's got us in a position we're in, not just this season but the previous two seasons as well. So enormous credit to him. I know he doesn't go looking for credit, but fantastic credit to him. But a bit strange, but Andy Mullin was there, David Wiley, so between the three of us we managed to make sure there was no major mishaps.
Craig McPherson there. Jim Duffy's number two at Morton. Well done to the Capello side. It will be playoffs this season, but will it be third, fourth playoff or second place? Still plenty to play for, but we do know that Falkirk, Dundee United and Morton will be the three playoff sides in the Scottish Championship. What will happen to St Mirren this season? Well, the last couple of weeks we've been saying, that's them, they're fine, they're safe now. Not so much. They lost a last second goal today to lose 3-2 away to Dundee United. We're going to hear from Jack Ross when we come back. It's Saturday's Open Line on Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
You could be next on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Open Line. Call now on 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scottish Cup. Please gamble responsibly.
At Tannadice today, it finished Dundee United 3, St Mirren 2. It was an incredible end to the game. St Mirren getting themselves what looked to be a valuable point through Josh Todd, but then Blair Spittle in injury time getting a late winner for Dundee United. Here's the thoughts of Dundee United manager Ray McKinnon.
Delighted for that. Yeah, delighted. Showed after conceding two equalisers, an absolute fantastic attitude to win the game. That's all we wanted to do today, was win the game. And I thought the boys, they've done well today. And the battle against a good St Mirren side, who were also fighting for points. But again, I think we were on downfall, not defending a set piece and then giving the ball away sloppily when we're in charge of the game with 4 minutes to go. So great, great response from the lads and great desire to win the game.
Is that character a good omen for the last two games?
Hopefully. We said we just need to try and win every single game. we're a wee bit disjointed, you know, but not disjointed, that's not the word, but you know, we'd like to have a lot more players available to us at this moment, and but fair credit to the guys today. Certainly Willow Flood, I thought, was outstanding today. He really drove the team on, and we're going to need that sort of enthusiasm and desire from our key players to the end of the season, and hopefully if we can win all our games, we'll see where we end up.
How did you see the first goal?
I've not seen it back, but you know, for me, I just looked at the two of them. I went for the ball. Thomas has come out on top and a fantastic finish. So until I see it, I can only say it's a great finish from Thomas.
So Ray McKinnon, Dundee United manager. What about Jack Ross, though? Especially after losing that late goal.
We deserve the football, and that's probably the best way I could sum it up, because I don't think we deserve to lose again.
Did you think his first goal?
Dundee United's first goal is a mistake by the referee. I know I'm saying things very simple terms, but that's the reality of it. Not just what I seen with my naked eye at the time, you know, because I think you have to be fair about it. I've watched it back, and I think probably the match officials are the only people in the entire stadium that don't think it's a free kick.
Quite astonishing, because you had a good view of it even at the touchline, didn't you?
It's one of those that, I think just sometimes you just expect it, and actually, strangely enough, I think it helps the finish. Because I think Mickelson probably thinks it's a free kick, and he probably relaxes and then has a smash at it, thinking, I'm probably going to get pulled back. I might be doing him a disservice, and that's, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but yes, it's just a really poor decision.
It's getting to the stage of the season, Mirren as a club just can't afford these kind of decisions. It's too tight now.
Yeah, look, there's obviously, the game doesn't finish 1-0, so it's not a defining moment of the game. However, we lose the game by one goal, so you can make an argument to say it does have a bearing on the game. Frustrating, because I do think it's not even as if it's a 50-50 one, it's quite an easy foul to give, and I think when you have the match official that's adamant that he's got the decision right, then that's
Will it be easy enough to pick him up?
Yeah, not easy, it's my job to do it. That what they have to realise is just where they are as a group. Came to the team, I think, has got the best home record in the league, and we're good, simple as that.
I think in general terms, Jerry, we're getting towards the same state of affairs that existed when referees decided the last time they'd had enough. And they, first of all, threatened a strike and then carried one out. So it's as well that we're getting to the end of the season. If this was the middle of the season, I might have fears of industrial action. But we're reaching a crisis point here where Stuart Regan has got to come down from the ivory tower. You've got to bring Neil Doncaster downstairs with him. John Fleming's got to make the journey. The Neil Lennons, the Pedro Cachinhas, the Brendan Rodgers of this world, they've all got to get together. Derek McInnes and everyone else.
And Fraser.
Yeah, and Fraser as well. Yeah, players, you're absolutely right, because players are cheating fellow players. Diving is becoming an epidemic. So we really have to give the referees a hand. The referees have to improve at the same time because they're not good enough. But we are reaching a stage where it's time to get around a table here and see what we can do to help this problem.
All the managers know they're put under pressure from their bosses. All the players know that they can't come out to talk about the managers after the game. But it's game after game now. We're listening to a manager coming out risking the chance he's going to get fined.
There's also
just because of them not being good enough.
Or is it the case, Hugh, that it appears to be game after game because the limelight's there? The criticisms are coming in.
But they're big games, Jerry, and the decisions, when everybody looks at it, will say, well, why did you give that? It's not as if it's a 50-50, well, he could have gave it that way. All of them seem to be 100% mistakes.
Cliff here says, an East 5 player was sent off today for diving. Must have been his second booking. Says it was a breath of fresh air, and he got pelters for it.
Well, you know, from the... don't quite follow that. Pelters from the crowd.
From the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. People are right to be offended by it. But at the same time, if it happens tomorrow and it helps win the game for one side or the other, there'll be no pelters given by the winning team supporters.
Here's Stevie in Bayliston. Hi, Stevie.
Hiya, how you doing?
Hi, Stevie. Have you got a solution to this?
I would just like professionals to act like professionals. In the world of golf, they rule themselves. They're asked a direct question, they call things themselves. At the time of the Inverness incident, we haven't got TV. If the referee could have had the time for 5 seconds and just challenged the professional concerned, the worst contact made, do you feel it's a penalty? And if the man says it is a penalty and he's blatantly cheated, then that's twice he's done it. He's been given an opportunity there and then to assist the referee. And whilst I appreciate it's a results-driven business, surely his integrity must say, OK, contact wasn't made, and they move on.
There are...
Fess up.
The panel thinks about that.
Fess up.
There are 99 occasions out of 100 when a referee will look a player in the eye and say, I put you on your honour now. Was it a penalty? And the 99 times out of 100, he'll be told, absolutely, ref, stonewaller. So it's a waste of time asking players. The one out of 100 will be like the day when Paolo Di Canio caught the ball rather than take advantage of a player lying injured. Yeah. There'll always be one exception to the rule. But players players will not tell you the truth.
However, taking Stevie's point, and you think about it in the Alex Schalk incident, if the referee, by process, goes up to Alex Schalk and said, was there any contact? And Schalk says, aye, there was contact. Schalk then can't do what he's done this week and come out and say, oh, I'm really sorry, I've looked back on it and it looked terrible, because he's exposed.
What Stevie's saying is right. It would be great if you could just do that straight to the player. Was there contact? And if he looked up at you and said no, then you book him and then move on or whatever you do. But if he says yes, there was contact, and it turns out to be none, then you could double
bank
his punishment.
Rights, yeah.
If we have this every week in every division, then we allow people to say, wait a minute, in Scotland the game's refereed by the players, because the referees see so little, they're so incapable of helping themselves of getting the decisions right. They say to a player, can you tell me, is there any chance, was that a penalty?
Yeah,
I mean, it makes us look laughable.
I mean, it's one each. Do you want me to play 10 minutes just so we've got a winner? You know, that's what we'll do. We'll end up just governing it. The players will govern the game.
You have to demand better discipline from players. It may be a forlorn hope, but they have got to stop cheating their fellow players.
Now, as far as diving's concerned, Hugh, you're right about players, but there's more to it than that. There's bad decisions by referees.
I was getting to that. Players have to respect fellow players instead of cheating fellow players. Referees have to up the standard of their game, because as things stand at the moment, it's not good, and it appears to be getting worse on a weekly basis. And it's time for our authorities to come out from behind the couch and get something done
because you're right, and I said it earlier, I mean, the referees are listening to this and watching it, and they're taking more stick than they've ever done before. They will not go on listening to this. Something will happen. So it's up to the people that govern our game, as you suggested earlier, to get together and try and certainly find a solution in the summer for next season.
Derek, the decision and the solution is there. Ones get television in quicker than what, but I think they're trying it out in different tournaments.
But that's the finances again in this country.
Listen, I actually think we have a solution.
Oh.
And I think it beats your TV technology, hands down. It involves technology, but not TV technology. And I think this would be a little bit cheaper, and I think that this tweeter who goes by the name World Record Holders is onto something. Take what Stevie said there about a player, if he goes down, right, was there contact, was there not, and you say, how can we leave it up to the player? Of course he's going to say, well, this tweeter says a solution: Jeremy Kyle pitch side with a lie detector. That's what you need.
But Jeremy,
that's it, get him hooked up.
Jeremy can only be one ground at a time.
Oh, you.
Unless he's got a big family.
Get him a helicopter. Right, we will be back, of course. Today was the starter. Tomorrow's the main course. Celtic against Rangers. It's a midday kickoff from Hampden Park. We will be here on air from 11:45. As I said, Alison Conroy and Gordon DL will be at Hampden. Myself, Hugh Murdo, Derek, back in these seats. There's no point in even leaving. We'll just stay and watch the end of this game, have a bite to eat, and
have a sleep.
Absolutely. Back up.
I'll go for that.
Is there a bar?
Unfortunately not. Keep it on Clyde One though, because it's GBX up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Night.